things upon today, a few scriptures to kind of lay the text as we go. In John 12, 1, and then we're going to read and skip to 9 through 19. Let us read out loud in concert together. 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man he had raised from the dead, and a dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. When all the people heard of Jesus' arrival, they flocked to see him and also to see Lazarus, the man Jesus had raised from the dead. Then the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too, for it was because of him that many of the people had deserted them, the priests, and believed in Jesus. Stop right there. It was because of the man that got up at the word of Jesus. Now, Jesus had gone for several weeks up unto another town, but Lazarus kept on sharing because he was alive. And some people knew he had a funeral just a few weeks before, but he shared with everybody and he stirred up a lot of faith. After all, he wasn't telling them something that was about to come to pass. He was telling them about experience he had, and now he was once dead, but now alive. Let's read on. The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet Jesus. They shouted, "Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord." In the King James, it's Hosanna. Hosanna. And this might be a depiction of the Lord coming along that road headed to Jerusalem. Let's continue on. They said, "Hail to the King of Israel." And Jesus had found a young donkey and rode on it, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. "Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming riding on a donkey's colt." His disciples didn't understand at the time. They what? Didn't understand at the time what was being fulfilled right in front of them? Prophecy from Zechariah 9:9. And they didn't understand at the time. They didn't discern that prophecy was being fulfilled right before their eyes. And they were a part of it. Turn to somebody and say, prophecy's being fulfilled. Can you see it? Do you discern it? Ooh, glory to God. Ooh, say, Jesus is about ready to show up. Let's read on. That this was a fulfillment of prophecy. But after Jesus entered into his glory, they remembered what had happened and realized that the things that had been written about him. Many in the crowd had seen Jesus call Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead. And they were telling others about it. They were doing what? Telling others about what? What they tell? What they saw. The miraculous. The signs. The dead raised. They were telling other people. This is the reason. Let's read. This is the reason so many went out to meet Jesus, because they had heard about this miraculous sign. Then the Pharisees said to each other, "There's nothing we can do. Look, everyone has gone after him." Oh, touch somebody and say, everybody's got to go after Jesus. Would you be seated in the presence of the Lord? I wrestled with a whole lot more text that had to do with the preparation, and I'll give it in just a nutshell. The Lord had gone up to Ephraim, the city of Ephraim, because it was not yet his hour, and the Pharisees and all the leaders were looking for an occasion to arrest him and to harass him and to kill him, but he had plenty that he wanted to say to his disciples in private. Plus, he took them up there so that they could have those last teachings that he could sow into them privately without all the harassment, because there was going to come the perfect time that he was going to do this. Then they come down to Bethany, and as they come to Bethany, there is a dinner in great honor. It is at this dinner that Lazarus's sister Mary comes and brings an alabaster box and anoints his feet. Somebody say his feet. Now, contrary to theologians who think that there are three ladies who are one lady, and they don't understand that there's a difference between tears on your feet, anointing on your feet, and anointing on your head. And the disciples were not schizophrenic, and they were not forgetful, and they were telling of three separate things. But scholars cannot figure out why they seem to be so simply tied together, and some of them so close. One of them happens here on the Sabbath evening before going into Palm Sunday, the first day of the week. It is the dinner, and she cries before the Lord, but anoints his feet, and Judas, the betrayer, who is just about out of money. He can't rob anything more because there's nothing left, because the Lord doesn't need anything more to give away because he's headed to the cross. And so Judas, who is greedy and has had his hand in the till trying to take all the money, sees the price of what Mary has placed upon the Lord, and he gets indignant. It's a waste. They've wasted it upon Jesus. And Jesus said, "Leave her alone. For what she has done in honor unto me. For she has discerned prophecy that's about ready to be fulfilled." Greed and avarice and the things of the adversary. You can be walking with Jesus, close to Jesus, and have the wrong heart and miss out entirely on the prophetic word and the manifestation. But I look at the other 11. The other 11 have been told from Ephraim coming down, we're headed to Jerusalem where the Son of Man will die and he will be raised from the dead. And they, oh yeah, good, cool, hallelujah, praise God. Just like about 80% of people in church houses. Hey, cool, well, yeah, preach it, okay. But Mary, who appreciated the master and was at his feet. Mary, who appreciated that even though her faith hadn't come to the level to believe the Lord that he could raise her brother from the dead, was appreciative of the fact that she now has another several years with her brother and a testimony to tell of the Lord. And she brings out her very best. She brings out what was meant for her later, her inheritance, and brings it out and bestows it as an offering on the Lord. Turn to somebody and say, when you're worshiping Jesus, your act of love is never wasted. Matter of fact, I got to ask you this question or say this. What you do not discern in the Lord will surprise you later if you don't miss it. There are many people that are going to miss because they think we're in an ordinary time. A portal opens up every time that there is this holy week in honor of the Son of the living God. God opens up a portal from heaven. It is a holy place. If we go through the ticking of the time of this week and we just look at it as an ordinary week, we are not discerning and we are not sensitive to the very things of our God. Because after all, we want to give our King what he wants. And this is a holy week. Without this week, there is none that can be saved. We are honoring in remembrance, but is spiritually discerned the things, because spiritual discernment is not normal intuition. It is not things of the intellect and just something that you've been thinking about. Discernment is not having a whole lot of facts and feely feelings and opinions from other people. Discernment is when you are tapped in, checked in, and got a hold of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks into your spirit, boom, something you don't know and could not know on your own. And it begins to be discerned as knowledge from the Lord that something is about ready to happen that hasn't happened yet, but has been an appointment in time. Come back tonight. I'm going to be preaching upon the things that trigger time. And once they're triggered, they're unstoppable. When you are spiritually discerning and have the senses of he, the Holy Spirit, an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying, an eye to see what the Lord is saying, that you will sense the time of fulfillment of prophecy and the time of the Lord. There is much talk that is going on now about the events that are happening in the world as to what time is it in the last time's calendar and where are we. I will tell you this, that the day or the hour no man knoweth but the Father. but you must be ready. The Lord said you can discern the seasons and the times. And if you read, there are things that happen that must happen in order for the Lord to release certain things. This is why the Lord asks us to be obedient and to be faithful. Sometimes he says you've got to walk the track of time in faithfulness so I can show up in the suddenly. The suddenly is the I'm in tonight's message already. And so prophetic word was being fulfilled right before their eyes. It was set up for the next. See, anybody who's read for a while and understands where this comes from, you don't just read one verse. You got to read the verse above it and the verse below it, and you got to get some context. And even certain scholars and even Jewish scholars have missed this fact, because Zechariah 9:9 says that to not be afraid, people of Israel, because the king of Israel is coming riding on a donkey. The next verse is that he overthrows and sets up his kingdom. Zechariah sees the entrance of the Lord the first time and the entrance of the Lord the second time so close in his prophetic eye that he cannot tell that there's time between them. See, this is the way prophets can see things. If we turn the picture sideways, we will see two mountains of time upon the mountains. But because the prophet is not looking as you're looking, but looking this way, he can see the two peaks, but the two peaks look like one. And Zechariah prophesies in one verse of the first mountain, which is the Lord's first time in Jerusalem, which triggers and sets up for the second time. Because when he comes back the second time, he's not coming back with peace in peace. He's coming back with a make war and set peace as the ruler upon the throne of David for 1,000 years millennial reign. And so you got to look at scripture and say, well, why are they tied together? Many of the prophets tied together here, tied together when the Lord is in the millennial reign, and tied together some of the things that are after, and run all the verses together. And man, in their mind, thinks they messed up the prophecy because they don't know eternity. And the only way to know eternity is to know the eternal one. So Jesus came in on a donkey and a colt, which he had sent two of his disciples, which scripture does not tell which two that they were, sends them up to the little village just past Bethany at Bethanage, and says, you're going to find there, he prophesies to them, you're going to find there a donkey and a colt who has never been ridden there at the place where there's a fork in the road. And when you go, untie them, and someone's going to come out and say, why are you untying these, as if you're stealing them? And he says, when the person asks you, not if the person asks you, when the person asks you, tell them the Lord hath need of these, and we will return them to you. So they go on their way to do what the Lord has said, and they get to the very city he told them to go to with a command, get to the very fork in the road, and there is a donkey and a colt, which no man has written upon it, tied right where Jesus said they were. It's as if he had eagle vision of 13 miles away. He could see the donkey and the colt. Yeah, prophetically, the Lord can see what's ahead of you. And so they get there, and guess what? A man, that's what the Lord said, a man's coming out. A woman didn't come out in China. A man came out and said, why are you untying these? Exactly, verbatim, the exact conversation that the Lord said the man would say. So his disciples said, verbatim, exactly the words the Lord gave them to reply. And the man released them, didn't call the sheriff, didn't call authorities, released them just the way the Lord said, because the Lord had need of the donkey and a colt. He could not ride a camel in. There'd have been no fulfillment of prophecy. He couldn't ride a cow in because he wasn't Baal. He couldn't ride a chariot in because he wasn't Zeus. He rode a donkey and a colt that had never been sat upon. Without bronco busting the donkey and the colt. And the colt and the donkey yielded themselves to their creator. Out of the ordinary. See, when he comes in just a moment, they think these are trained these are trained vessels that the Lord has ridden on before. No, no one has ridden on them before. And they don't buck. They don't bray. They don't stop. He doesn't have to kick them. He doesn't. And donkeys are stubborn. If they don't want to go, donkeys are more stubborn than horses. And so are humans. And so he comes in prophecy. The next step will be his second return. See, because prophecy given is the opportunity to attach your faith to get it. When prophecy is given, it's the opportunity. The Lord's given you the opportunity. He is marking the place in time that gives you the opportunity of your faith to get to it. Prophecy fulfilled, on the other hand, is the opportunity to multiply the glory given to God and the faith of others. That when you have prophecy that's already been fulfilled, why do we have trouble believing for the next? Be careful, my friends, because I've seen this happen, and it's happened to me in the body of Christ. To live in manifested prophecy, and because a few days has gone by, we then look for the new and forget about God's best that he's already given and not be able to herald and give him glory. For you see, the real secret and the key is, once that you've had a manifested prophecy in your life, is to keep testifying to people of what God did and not being here, well, God may do it, God might do it. No, I already know too much. I'm already living in manifested prophecy. I'm not trying to get the first notch in my belt. I've got notches all the way around of what God has done. Here, let me pull out one of these bullets, testify. Let me pull out another one, testify. Let me pull out another one, testify, until the enemy and their lives is destroyed and their faith comes alive in Jesus. After all, when they don't believe, they just don't. And you got to hit them with love and the testimony. See, a lot of people want to pacify somebody and say Jesus loves you and don't tell the power. Do you know it was supernatural for the Lord to get you out of what you were in when you were in sin? It wasn't ordinary. It wasn't psychologist. It wasn't he gave you a pill and a prescription. He didn't just sprinkle a little holy water over you and something went down in your brain and it's all biological, so everybody could show up at the hospital and have a little water put on them that somebody had the thing and all of a sudden everybody's cured of whatever was going through. No, we had a sin problem and we were bound and we were needing a Lord and Savior that could free us. And his supernatural power of his blood and of who he is and the sacrifice he did. See, they thought they were killing just a regular man, but no, something supernatural was going to happen on the cross. Be here next week for the unstoppable Savior. Turn to somebody and say, I got some fulfilled prophecy, and I'm going to wear the enemy out with it. Next time the enemy tries to come at you, Miss Kristen, I heard the voice of the Lord. And I came right down here, and here's the spot where the Lord touched baby Draven and healed him instantaneously. And the specialist couldn't find the other. Sometimes you got to mark the spot, and you got to, hey, all right, devil, come over here. Come over here. Let's go stand on the holy spot and let me tell you what the Lord did for me. Let me tell you the thing you couldn't stop. Let me tell you the thing you couldn't hold back. When the Lord touched me, buddy, your hands had to go. When the Lord freed me, your bondage had to go. Matter of fact, you ain't got the same handcuffs you had before, because he destroyed every yoke of bondage. Somebody shout in here and say, here comes Jesus. I'm going to celebrate my King. Woo, yes, hallelujah. The enemy messes with you. Say, I'm just going to start talking about the Lord, because here comes Jesus. Every time I talk about the Lord, here it come. We started calling his name, and did you feel the presence change as the Messiah come and looked upon us in this room? That's why we can say you can receive healing right now. You can receive right now from the Lord, because the very atmosphere changed in his presence. Turn to somebody and say, the danger in churches today, as they make common the supernatural, and then they try to erase the supernatural, and then they try to block the supernatural. never commonize living in manifest prophecy. Evangelist Lois Bunch would come there to Alton, Illinois, and prophesy to me about the wife I was about ready to get from the Lord. And then she would get called down here to Springfield, and she'd come preach a revival, and she'd prophesy to that little drummer gal over there, that singer, and said, prophesy about the husband the Lord's about ready to give her. And that prophetess of God knew which ones they were, but would not name the names. She wanted the Lord to do it. She didn't want to be a setup artist. But by the Spirit, she already knew what God was doing. So I'm giving that one that prophecy, I'm giving that prophecy, and something is linking up in the Spirit, and oh my God. But she backed off from the flesh want to try to make it happen for God. I'm living in manifest prophecy. Every day that I take a look at that beautiful woman right over there, I'm living in manifest prophecy. God gave me a vision and a dream that I'd be pastoring at age 35. I'd be pastoring in a college town. Not one with just a little one college, but with many colleges. And that in that city, I would go back to school while there's a little gray in my hair and sit in the class amongst young people and be an influence. I'm living in manifest prophecy. That's already happened. When I began to pastor this church, April 6th of 1998, I turned 36 in July. I began pastoring this church when I was 35. God prophesied over our kids. God prophesied over this church. God's many prophecies have come to pass, and you're living in them. That's why you can, no matter what types of things you go through, you must never commonize what the Lord has already done for you. They are your weapons of testimony. He saved you, that's supernatural. He healed you, that's supernatural. You have got weapons. Manifested prophecies are supernatural. You have got weapons that to shut the devil up so you can give God glory. Somebody shout, G3! Give God glory continually. Say, why? I know it. My family knows it. They've heard me tell it 100,000 times. But as long as there's another soul that doesn't know Jesus and needs to come home, we need to tell it again. Because the Lord died for one or all, but he died for the one. He died for you. He died for me. And we need to understand that our testimony is all about the one to come to the one. In Matthew chapter 21, verses 12 through 17, something happened after the Lord came in as he's coming in all along those areas. And I mean his enemies are seething with jealousy, seething with hatred. But Jesus entered into the temple, and the blind and the lame come to him in the temple. I find this very interesting because they're not coming to the Pharisees who are upset. Nobody's going to the Pharisees to get healed and get their eyes open. Nobody's going to the Sadducees. Nobody's going to all the political people. All the ones that are mad at Jesus don't have a prayer line at all. Nobody's going to them. But the Lord doesn't even open up a prayer line. He goes in the temple and starts wrecking the place and cleaning it out. And the lame and the blind come and say, heal us, Lord. And the leading priests and the teachers of the religious law see him do these wonderful miracles right in front of them, which means their doubt and their hate could stop Jesus, because the lame and the blind had enough faith to believe beyond them. See, as they were coming to the temple yard, the priests would meet the lame and would meet the blind and say, hey, y'all need to go over there to the pool over there. You don't belong in here. But because Jesus was there, they couldn't stop the swarm of people that were coming because the healer was in the house. Woo! Say, here comes Jesus. He may come with healing. He may come with miracles. He may come in salvation. He may come in deliverance. He may come in blessing. But here comes Jesus. If you can receive him as king every time, here comes Jesus. And it's going to be a wonderful, miraculous time. That's why we believe here at Eagle Heights Worship Center in the miracles. Hallelujah. And it's popping up in other churches. Matter of fact, on Friday night, they got so free in the spirit. A lady with a knee replacement got healed Friday night at a First Assembly Church. Because they've been crying out for a year for a glory of God to sweep in. They've been calling out and praying. They didn't take it for common. We've got a slew of miracles. We can start the miracle parade and start it upon tomorrow. And we can tell the testimony on a telethon and go 24/7 and have some people get healed and have new testimonies come in. We must be careful not to commonize what God has done in this place. Say, we're going to make it special. We're going to keep on giving him glory. So the religious leaders, they see these miracles, and they heard even the children are in the temple shouting, Hosanna, praise God for the Son of David. Woo! You know you're in revival when the children are crying out, and they're praising God too out loud. I thought I'd get a little amen there. That's why we believe in our little ones getting saved in Super Kids, getting filled with the Holy Ghost in Super Kids, not learning how to play the next game or get bit by the devil. Hallelujah. We praise God for the Son of David. But the leaders were indignant, and they asked Jesus, do you hear what these children are saying? And Luke, he records, they asked Jesus to rebuke your followers for saying it like. Well, Jesus is not one to just, I'm sorry I offended you. No, if I offended you, wear it. Woe be unto the hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees. Woe be unto them vipers and snakes that offend and cause others not to believe in Jesus. I just told you that when you start telling people about the Lord and start praising, other people start believing. And when you keep it up, no matter who tells you to be quiet, say, this is a quiet zone. No, it's not. I don't care. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to praise the Lord. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to praise the Lord. This side's still alive. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to praise the Lord. Now we're growing. Wherever I'm at, I'm going to praise the Lord. This is a participation service. You can praise the Lord anytime. Praise God. Here's what they said. They said, tell even these children, shut up. But Jesus said, haven't you ever read the scriptures? These are the folks that have all of the titles besides their name of having gone through and read everything, and they are proud that they know the Torah inside out and backwards. They know all the ins and outs and all the rituals. And he said, haven't you ever read the scriptures? How many knows he's insulting them? And he says it sweetly, but if they don't get it, if they don't discern it, they'll get it in a minute. They're already indignant, and he just pours gasoline on the fire. He doesn't try to resolve this conflict because there's a reason. He said, for they said, you have taught children and infants to give you praise, Lord. If they do not praise me, if they do not praise, the rocks will cry out. Then Jesus returned to Bethany. Because you see, there's something powerful about what they were saying. And they were saying, he's the King of Israel, and he is Lord, and he blessed is the King, the Son of David. And so they have to make a comparison. They had, quote, a king, King Herod, a political king that was set up and robbed from. But see, Herod, he was too busy having drunken parties. He never healed anybody. No, his greatest act recorded was that he took off the head of John because he watched his stepdaughter dance naked in front of him. And she asked for the head of John. King Herod was a lust maniac and never could heal or raise anybody from the dead. But Jesus, King Jesus did multiple times. Matter of fact, he'd raised 3 from the dead just several weeks before the 3rd one. And during the end of this week, he'll be the 4th one. And nobody raised him. He raised himself up. Ooh, glory to God. The miraculous and the glory given to God will expose those who are pretending. See, when you up how much that you're praising God, when you up how you're glorifying him, you will expose the ones who are pretending. And there is coming a great shift once again. And those that have been pretending are not going to be able to keep up. They either hit the altar and get right or they're going to go left. Because we're going to keep on moving and giving God praise and giving God glory. And there's going to be people that have never heard about Jesus who are going to believe. There's going to be hurting people who realize I need to go where there's a Jesus that saves, a Jesus that heals. I've been tormented by demons. I've got to find me a place that casts out devils, not just writes me the 14th prescription and shock therapy. I need to be free. I need to be whole. I need Jesus. Somebody shout, here comes King Jesus. Give God praise. Hallelujah. For you see, our Jesus will never rebuke sincere, exuberant praise for our God and our Lord. Say that with me. He will never rebuke sincere, exuberant praise for our God. You got a right to praise God. You're saved, you got a right to praise Him. He healed, you got a right to praise Him. He brought you out, you got a right to praise Him. He brought you in, you got a right to praise Him. He healed your mind, you got a right to praise Him. He gave you a good family, you got a right to praise Him. He got you into a good church, you got a right to praise Him. So somebody says, stop praising. Say, oh, no. I know my rights. See, the honor of praise will never be silenced by the Lord. For to do so is dishonor. They were asking him to dishonor God and what was happening in this holy moment. And he said, no, I will not. Because if I even say to them, they should be quiet, even nature will cry out that the King, the Creator, has come up in the house. Woo. Somebody say, we celebrate our King. We praise Him. Here comes King Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and say this with me. Say, never let the enemy silence your sound. Never let the enemy silence your sound. What sound? The sound that accompanies the procession of your praise. Because your praise cannot be silent. Your praise has got to be vocal. Because after all, your daddy is vocal. When he speaks, light appears. When he speaks, the heavens come to order. When he speaks, the earth is made. When he speaks, everything happens. He's the creator. And since he creates by speaking, when you return it into the atmosphere by speaking, you are honoring the creator of his speech. Power, which is his word, which is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when you honor his word, he will not allow his word not to perform what it has done. Somebody said, when I get praising, the word starts performing. What does it mean, a procession of praise? See, they couldn't wait for him to get there. They ran out of the city. And they lined up in the way that he was coming. Said, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. Which way is he coming? He's coming down from Bethany. And he's coming across the Mount of Olives through the Kidron Valley. And he's coming up here to come through the Eastern Gate. And so they lined up all as far as they could get. I'm going to be the first one. And they started giving out the palm branches, which is of the date palm, which is the sweetest fruit that we have of natural fruits that are sweet. And so I know, because you can gain weight just by eating dates. You don't have to go on a date to gain weight. You just eat dates. God made them sweet, but it didn't mean for you to eat 50 of them. Praise God. In one setting. And so they took the branches of what represented the future of sweetness and the future of their harvest. And they took those branches, the future of even eating. It was saying, thank you, Lord. We honor you so much that we honor you with the branches. That is part of the sweetest thing. Why? Because Jesus is the sweetest name I know. And I turned around. They couldn't find sugar, but they could find the branches of the palm. Others laid their coats out, and in their coats was their covering, was their protection. But they laid it out in honor because they're saying, he is our covering and our protection. Never let the enemy silence the sound that accompanies the procession of your praise for your Jesus. Because, see, when we celebrate, celebrations, somebody say, we're celebrating our King. And second, we're celebrating Eagle Heights Worship Center. But when we celebrate our King, our celebrations may fuel the fires of jealousy and ridicule. But they will also turn up the fires of other people's celebration. See, praise and worship for our God has a twofold hit. It makes the enemy mad and it makes the hungry glad. Shout, remember! Celebration may bring persecution, but it also releases greater in God. Somebody shout, here comes King Jesus. Here comes King Jesus. Got to celebrate our King. Somebody say, I'm going to celebrate our King. Now I'm going to turn apostolically and prophetically just for a moment. What we're doing and what God's doing, there is a hunger. I actually have seen a change in the hearts of pastors. I have seen something begin to fall that in this last year, I had to, even this weekend, I had to ask the Lord to please forgive me for the times that things were not reciprocated, that I had come to the place where I guess I got to be a one that initiates everything. And that was the case up until this weekend. And even back when we were asked to be a part of Let's Worship Together, we were asked to be a part of that. And so as we join together with the body of Christ, I'm seeing more people in this region, more pastors in this region that are on their face crying out to God. And what are they crying out to God for? His glory to come. They want more of God and more of His glory. They want to see the supernatural. They want to see people healed. They want to see it just like the Bible. There are people that are not just praying so they can get through Sunday. They have got prayer teams that are praying, that are pulling upon heaven, and they don't wait. They come in and they say, we're going to do it. One man reported that 12 years ago God wrecked his church and he's been in revival ever since. That now he's got two campuses because he's got a prayer team that shows up for prayer. Matter of fact, they come in, they start praying, and the praise team went back to pray with them, and the praise team didn't come out. And the associate pastor went back in to pray with them, and the associate pastor didn't come out. So the senior pastor went back in to check on them, and he didn't come out. He came crawling out an hour and a half later because there were people waiting for service to start. He said, I'm sorry, folks, but if you want God, and right now he's in there. So go in there. And people were trying to step through the door and started falling out in the spirit in a church that had not known the glory of God before. And they were falling over each other, and they were just laughing in joy, and others speaking in tongues. And the power of God happened on a Sunday morning. So the pastor managed to get back, and he was at home, and his associate pastor said, had called him and said, Pastor, I don't think anybody locked up. And he said, well, it's 2:30. Maybe you ought to go check and see if anybody locked up. Come 4:30, he hadn't heard from his associate pastor. So he said to his wife, I think I'm going to get my tie and jacket on. I'm going to go up there and see what's happening. I haven't heard from him. He come in the office door to his office. He got to try to come in the side of the office. God slayed him. He had to crawl all the way over. Matter of fact, the doors were still locked in the sanctuary at 6 o'clock. And so here's the pastor, so drunk in the spirit, he is crawling up the aisle to try to get his keys out to unlock the doors to let people in. And so they managed to get one keyboard player out just for a little bit, out of the prayer room. Other people are pouring in the prayer room. They managed to get the keyboard player out because so many people, they were standing at the doors, rattling the doors, trying to get in at the 6 o'clock hour. So they started at 8:30. They couldn't even start the service. They couldn't even get the prayer person out till 8:30. Everybody was praying before God. They didn't care when it started. Finally, the first note on the keyboard was 8:30 in the evening. At midnight, folks are trying to wobble on out as ushers are trying to help people find their cars. Those folks had been there from before the service on Sunday morning. Some of them were so drunk in the spirit, they never took a bathroom break, they never took a water break, they never took a food break. They were so hungry for God, and it burst loose in him, not just the moment, not just one Sunday. It burst loose amongst him, and the people came back ready, because they didn't commonize what happened last week as if it was not going to happen this week. They came expecting it to happen. They came into prayer expecting the power of God. They came in expecting a miracle to show up. They came expecting for God to show up. And they started calling and calling and calling. And in several weeks, they started gathering people because miracles started to happen. And in several weeks of that, all of a sudden they had to go to multiple times of meetings because people started coming from the surrounding areas to get healed, to get saved, and to get demons cast out. Oh, and did I tell you? It's one of the assemblies of God that's not quite on the good list. Because he's crazy enough to know, God wrecked me, I ain't going back to where I was. Somebody say, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Say, here comes King Jesus. Isn't it something that the lame and the blind recognized him more than the Pharisees and the religious crowd? Isn't it something that Mary recognized something about Christ that even his disciples who'd been traveling with him could not recognize? Certainly, those 3 weeks he'd been sowing into them after they saw Lazarus raised from the dead, that the disciples, their discernment should have been on. But see, they started commonizing Jesus, who was right there with them, and their discernment shut off. They weren't having ears anymore to hear and eyes anymore to receive. They didn't understand some things, even though he blatantly, openly said to his 12 disciples, here's what's going to happen. We're going there. The Son of Man is going to die. They're going to slap me. They're going to bruise me. They're going to whip me. They're going to pull at my beard. They're going to mock me. I'm going to die. And then I got to get up in 3 days. Okay. And then shocked and run like scared animals when the process started. Because the discernment wasn't open enough. I must confess and profess to you that we must be ready for this move of God that is going to hit so dramatically and so powerfully to the hungry, to the ones who need God. They're going to need us to pray with them in the parking lot. They're going to need, because there ain't room enough in here. There's going to be so many people slain in the foyer that... Miss Katisha was one of the first ones to get hit by the wave of God as Elder Henry Mason was prophesying. And Miss Katisha was standing right there to your right, Miss Betsy, right there in the doorway. Prophesied to her, and the power of God hit you, and you ended up in the foyer, which was fulfillment of prophecy. Selena got drunk in the spirit out here in the foyer and got slain in the spirit, which was fulfillment of prophecy. So some people say they're going to be, when I say they're going to be slain in the spirit in the, he's just going to do it again. No. I said he's going to do it again. And anytime God does it again, he does it at a greater number.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you what, just real quick, something I've seen. My wife and I, we had Des Moines, Iowa. We had a wonderful presence of God revival there. And we started talking about the glory of God, and there came a time of hush. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, tell the people, just hold the Lord inside in reverence. People were all across the front. They brought him up for altar. It's the first time they ever were just silent on the music. Silent. All they could do was just hold Jesus in their mind and their spirit. Just engaged in a holy moment. For a preacher, it felt like it lasted forever. Because as a preacher, I felt like, what do I say? What do I do? And the Lord said, nothing. Don't move until he speaks. So it seemed to be like 15 minutes. It was probably about 2 full minutes to 3 minutes. The Holy Spirit speaks in my ear, says, say his name, whisper it in the microphone. And I said, Jesus. That's all I did. That's all I spoke. Jesus. One time, a wave of God came in. And they started falling out all over to each other. The ushers couldn't catch them. They were falling out to the pastor. And the pastor's wife fell on top of the pastor. And the pastor's family and all the deacons and all the ushers. Everybody that was up. Just like you had gone to a Benny Hinn meeting. And he said, take it. All I said was, Jesus. Why? Because he touched them all at the same time. You ought to give God praise. He's going to do some supernatural things that are incredible. Do you want to be a part of it? Do you discern that he's coming? He's coming. He's not only coming in the clouds soon. He is coming. He is coming with those to those that are hungry. There is a prophetic word that was given by Pastor Kilpatrick down here in Branson. He said that the hub of glory, God is going to open up the hub of glory to those who are hungry.
That's it.
Hungry. He said it may happen in my denomination, but God's not talking about denomination. He's talking about the hungry. The hungry. The hungry. Do you know what happens when 12 pastors in a city get together and know each other in the spirit and then all of a sudden say, we'll not break ranks, we'll not have any more competition, we want to see our city saved? Do you know what happens when they make Jesus in the center of it? I'm going to tell you that even though your apostle may get honored in this, that I'm not leading it. The Lord is going to lead it. I'm just going to do my part, and we're going to do our part. And we're going to show up with what God has gifted us, and they're going to show up with God, what God has gifted them. And their gift may be different than our gift, but that's all right because we need each other's gifts. Yeah. Would you stand to your feet? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, come, Lord Jesus. Can we sing just a little bit of that? Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus.
Come, Lord Jesus. I am desperate for you.
Those that are desperate, would you start to move out of your seats for the next several minutes? Say, I'm desperate for the Lord. Would you come to the front? And say, I'm willing to leave where I'm at. I'm so desperate, I want to be where the Lord is at.
Jesus, I am.
Jesus, Jesus. Also a presence standing to your right. Jesus. Jesus.
Jesus.
Precious Jesus. That's right, that's right. He's walking. He's walking. Lord, I touch you. They brought a crack baby to me, full of tubes running out on that very spot. God healed that baby. You're standing right now in a place of miracles. Just touch the Messiah. Touch the Messiah. Jesus. There he is. Pull on it, pull on it. The one we're going to see his face when he transforms us on that day. I'm desperate for you. He's right there. He's right in front of me. I'm just following him. I'm just following him. He's right there in front of me. Jesus. 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 Enough to lean on him. Because when you lean on him, he not only gives you strength, but he's going to turn. And you're going to hear his voice. 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 Somebody say, Jesus, Jesus, you're all I want. You're all I want, Lord Jesus. You're all I want, Lord Jesus.
You're all I want.
You're all I want. Lord Jesus, I just need you. I just. Sometimes I don't even know how. My aunties didn't know how. But just whisper his name. That's him. There ain't no preacher pushing on you. That's him. 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 Brother James, come here. Brother James, come here. Have him come here. You yielded to the Lord and he's been with you, but now he just told me right then to put some anointing on you. I don't even have to get the oil. This anointing is going to empower you, empower your witness, empower your movement forward. Because there's some areas you're going to have to end up kind of picking your feet up to kind of climb over. That's all right. The Lord said, I'll be with you. I'm empowering you to make it through that. Because King David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Jesus. Jesus. More, Lord, more, Lord, more. Your anointing, more, Lord, more, Lord, more. Upon his testimony, and upon his person is more, Lord, more. Because in the anointing is the strength to be able to do all that he's got you doing. Somebody say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And just lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're all I need. You're all I want. Now I got to ask, what just happened? Did you feel him, his presence? After I backed away, he stepped right up there, didn't he? The lover of your soul, Savior. He's real, isn't he? You know what he said to me? When I had my hands laid on your head, he said, take your hand off. She's not to know. She's not to think that you're going to push her. And he said, back away. And I backed out. And he showed up. Sometimes you got to know you're touching Jesus and he's right there with you. And he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I am with you always. He comes. Here comes the glory. Here comes the glory. Here comes the glory. Here comes the glory. Just reach up, Kayla. Just whisper his name, say, Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, my Savior. Papa Carlos, come here. I just saw the Lord just see this man is a faithful, loving servant. His energy, whether he feels good or not, to make sure he'll work hard. He's a hard worker. The Lord threw his arms around him. For the Lord says unto you, you've sowed in faithfulness and you've sowed in love. Now I'm going to sow back to you. You're going to mentor younger people, younger young men, and how to do the things that are right. And mentor them. I see you mentor them in carpentry and the things that you know. I see you passing a legacy on. Father, bring those young men to him. Let them see, Lord, the shining upon him. He will glorify you, magnify you. I bless you, sir. Give God praise. Give God praise. Glory. Glory. Glory, glory. Before we get out of here, something special has happened this week. And come Thursday, we'll not have that for a while. And when that's the Lord made a way, Miss Brittany had to take a step of faith and reach out and surprise us. And her teachers cleared things, just a couple online courses, and they cleared it so she could be here. It wasn't a time off of school. She requested she had to get with all of her professors. She had to get with the head. She had to get with all and get all these things in a row just to be with us for a week. How many are thankful? Thankful. So she's with us today and she's with us tomorrow. Tonight. And she's going to be leading out tonight. Never commonize what the Lord is doing. PRP knew you were up here because he texted me this morning. Then he said to me, he said, give them heaven, Bishop. Give them heaven today. Now, he don't contact me every Sunday morning. I contact him. And I want us to sow. I want us to sow into what's getting ready to happen from here through fire and glory and beyond. But sow into Brittany's life. But I want you to sow into that anointing. You can do so at $BrittanyMcClintock98 through Cash App. Or you can get out, check, and cash right now. And I'm going to ask her to just stand right here. Would you get one of those offering buckets? Let's put it out.
And I just feel to have Brittany bless those.
Yes.
All you have to do is just continue your worship. Brittany, just feel like I just touched your hands as they wish you restored.
She's been saturating and soaking and learning up in that anointing and up in that house of excellence and the school of the Spirit. I want you to bring bring an offering unto the Lord that will help her in her schooling and travel, and she's going to bless you while she worships. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. I love you, Lord. I worship you forevermore. Yes, I do. Serve you with honor. Serve you with love. Serve you with honor. From above. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anointings are transferable. When you honor, there's something that's transferred back to you. Say, I'm going to soak up, I'm going to saturate, I'm going to take all of the anointing I can. Ooh, hallelujah. If you end up at a restaurant, take that anointing in that restaurant. There may be somebody come over to your table and say, I just sensed something on you. Where did you just come from? What were you just doing? And say, I just walked in here with Jesus. He loves you. Going home, get a hold of somebody that you know could be here upon tonight. And let them know the Lord's in the house. And we're running after him. And we're going to give him glory. Amen.